right now going to be listening to a very extremely controversial subject tonight. If our guest calls in, which he should be calling in soon, we're going to be discussing a book. It's called Catholic for a Reason, Too. And then we have Dan Carner, who's going to be calling in, who's wrote a very, very popular book called The Believer's Conditional Security, and it goes against the doctrine of once saved, always saved. And so it is a big book that you definitely want to get to read if you really want to know the truth.
Well, it sounds like we're going to get shot from all angles tonight, aren't we?
But we're not going to base it. We're going to talk about this Catholic book that was written by Bishop James S. Sullivan that was sent by a listener, and we're going to critique that tonight a little bit, because they, in this book, say that Mary is co-redemptrix. She gave the word flesh. Let's see, the woman is in salvation history. Mary the new Eve. Mary the God-bearing Ark. Treat her like a queen. Always a virgin. Called to be children of Mary. God's family plan. Mary full of grace. Mary and the church. And the rosary. We're going to hit on a couple of those areas tonight. And where our special guest is going to be Dan Carner. But I want to warn you very quickly, listen carefully, and I want to warn you, you have now entered into the Christian no-spin zone. We try to say it like it is. We love people, but more than people, we love God's truth. And if you don't tell the truth, then you suffer the consequences. And so it's either truth or consequences with God. And the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we're going to have Dan Carner, and Jerry, I believe he's even here waiting for us to open up the line to him.
Is he already on?
Yes.
Well,
so we're gonna bring him on. Okay. Dan, are you there?
Yes, it's
okay,
great to be with you.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah, you sound a lot better now, Dan. I can hear you.
Good.
Hey, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And we're awful glad to have you. We always enjoy it when you come on the radio with us, because we found out you do have some knowledge and everything that we like to let everybody out there in the radio audience be a participator in. We were talking today about this morning, that it's going to be a really good program, because we got a very good subject we're going to talk about tonight.
Amen.
And we're going to be critiquing this particular book that was sent to us by someone in the audience. And we felt, since they sent it to us to prove a point, we thought that we would just go ahead and critique it and see just how much of it is accurate and how much it isn't. And so, Kathy, what's the name of that book again?
The name of this book is Catholic for a Reason, Too. It says here, Scripture and the Mystery of the Mother of God. And right in the area where it talks about the foreword, the very last sentence says, Mary has heard our prayer. It is she who gives this book to you. And Dan, I know that you have a lot of information on Catholicism. In fact, your paper that we just received was a little bit talking about Catholicism. And also, you're Approaching Death by Dan Carner here. And then the present day Catholicism and the Unum Sanctum Contradiction by Dan Carner. And so, Dan, I know that you have studied a lot on this, and you just wouldn't believe tonight. You would not believe one of the main subjects of this radio station was once saved, always saved, and Catholicism. And once saved, always saved was hot and on fire, and so we're a little concerned about that. As you know, it's starting to permeate every part of Christianity right now.
Yeah, in fact, one of our brethren said he'd like to see some scriptures pertaining to show him some scriptures that said that a person can lose their salvation. And I just wondered if he's got all night to listen, because I know of a lot of scriptures that says that, don't you, Dan?
Amen. That's for sure. All through the Bible.
Yeah. You know, we were talking earlier on the phone today, you had said that you came from a Catholic background.
That's exactly right. And at one point in time, for the first couple decades of my life, I was a very, very staunch Roman Catholic, and I was convinced that I would die a Roman Catholic. I would not tolerate for a moment anyone saying anything contrary to the things that I was taught. I swallowed hook, line, and sinker everything the priest had said. And in a nutshell, what changed me was reading the Catholic Bible. I would not have trusted any Protestant Bible. I blew the dust off, literally, off of the Catholic family Bible we had here, and I started reading it, and I was absolutely shocked by what I seen in the Bible. And I was thinking, before I went to the Scriptures, I was going to learn some things about Mary and some other subjects, and lo and behold, that's not what Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or the other books of the New Testament was saying. It was emphasizing the Lord Jesus, and what I thought about salvation was totally different as well. And, well, just like the Bible says, the entrance of God's Word brings light. That's found in Psalm 119, 130. And as I read God's Word, the light or the truth from the pages of Scripture illuminated my understanding to these very most important spiritual matters. And I came to the place in Luke 18 where Jesus said, two went up into the temple and prayed, and the one that prayed, God have mercy on me, a sinner, went home justified. And I had never in my entire life went to God to get my sins forgiven. I always went to God, or tried to get to God, rather, by going through the Catholic priest. So I seen that. I stopped what I was doing. I got down on my knees, and I sincerely cried out from my heart with a willingness to turn from my sins. And I had already believed several minutes before, and even before that, that Jesus is Messiah, that he's the Son of God. So my faith was in him, but I needed to repent of my sins and ask God for mercy. The message of salvation comes right back around to Acts 20:21, which is repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. My faith before that point in time, put into sacraments and being a Roman Catholic and in Mary, and even wearing a brown scapular. I used to wear a brown scapular. Perhaps some Catholics know what that is. But none of these things is what the Scriptures would elevate to the plan of salvation. And that's what made the difference for me, was to read the Bible for myself and to see what Jesus and the apostles taught. And that made the difference. I became a Christian.
Let me ask you a question. Would the statements that there is salvation under no other name, and there's no other name by which a man must be saved, is that contradictory to Catholic teaching?
I would have to say absolutely, positively, yes. At one point in time, I believe that you would have to be a Roman Catholic to have salvation because of some of the papal decrees, some of the things that the former popes have said. Now, in our day and age, that's not the message of Vatican Council II. They're teaching something contrary. Now, of course, that's not what they're going to tell us. They're not going to say, well, we're contradicting what we said hundreds of years ago, but they really are contradicting what they said hundreds of years ago. In 1302, Boniface, this is a pope now, he went ahead and said, for salvation, you're going to have to be in subjection to the Roman pontiff. Leo X, another pope, a couple hundred years later, he wholeheartedly agreed and reaffirmed what Boniface said. But that's not what Vatican Council II today is teaching. They're saying it's possible that a Muslim could find salvation. And that's certainly not the message of the Bible. First and foremost, Jesus did not teach that, neither did his apostles.
I've read the Bible. I've been studying, I guess, the Bible for 28 years. And yet what I see that's in this book and the statements made about Mary, I find none of that in the Bible anywhere. It's completely contrary to Bible scripture. But yet, it is preached in the Catholic Church as doctrine, something which a Catholic would base their very soul. And I have looked and looked and trying to be honest, and I think you would agree with me. We're not trying to down Catholics tonight. That's the last thing we want to do. I want to be respectful of people's views, you know. But still, we have to do what truth says. And if we're going, the Bible says that we're saved, born of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. And so then if I'm going to be true to my faith and true to Scripture, then we have to stand for truth.
Amen. That's a very important point. The truth will set us free, and then it comes right back around to, well, what is the truth? And the Bible is truth. Jesus praying to the Father in John 17:17 said, thy word is truth. So Scripture is truth. The Apostle Paul, he reasoned from the Scriptures. One of the most important things that any Christian could ever do is to go and find something from the Bible that would back up what he believes in. And if somebody's believing that Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope, they're going to be very hard-pressed to find a Bible verse to teach that. And that's a very important issue, because for somebody to think that Mary is our life, which is what the rosary prayer would say, the tail end of the rosary prayer, is that prayer, that statement, Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, or life, or sweetness, or hope. It is actually elevating Mary to a place that we would say she has a role in salvation, because if she is our life, then she must have a role in salvation. But that's not what the message of the Bible is. I know one of the things that helped clarify all of this for me at one time was to examine in detail just exactly what the plans of salvation found in the New Testament had to say and what it did not say. For example, repeatedly in the book of Acts, we have several plans of salvation that are cited. Peter gave several, the Apostle Paul did the same, and of course in the Gospels, if we would back up to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Lord Jesus told repeatedly what the plan of salvation is. And never, I repeat, never, 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 not even one single time do we ever see where Mary has any role whatsoever. The Catholic Church that I went to, the personal motto was to Jesus through Mary. We were taught, if you want to get to Jesus, you have to first go to Mary. But that's not the message of the Bible. Jesus told people to come directly to himself, repeatedly. He commanded people to come to him. And nowhere do we see Peter or Paul or James or anyone else ever telling any sinner to go to Mary so she can bring you to her son. So there's a major important difference between what many sincere Catholics believe, because they were taught that, and what the Bible actually teaches. Now, what's the big ruckus then? Well, because we're talking about salvations of eternal souls here.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a secondary issue. The Lord Jesus shed his blood. The early disciples, they went to prison. They shed their blood. They died martyrs to speak the truth. And that's what we are told to do. And as you said before, we do it out of respect for people. Now, if we were dealing with Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, we would likewise be speaking the truth in love, respectfully. But nonetheless, the truth sometimes can be abrasive. It could be hard to hear and sometimes hard to receive. But truth is always vital. And to know the truth about salvation is most vital, because we face a long eternity beyond the grave. And Mary plays absolutely no role whatsoever in the slightest way in our personal salvation. But then on the other hand, Jesus is the one we have to look to. We have to trust on him and put all of our faith in him. And it doesn't matter what kind of religion you are, being a Pentecostal, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic, a Mormon, whatever you might be denominationally, that will not save you. It's Jesus. So, of course, some people are in a cult, and they don't even know it. Some people are in some kind of wrong religion, sincere as it may be, maybe because they were raised that way, but they just never looked into the Scriptures to find out what the truth is. So hopefully, if nothing else, after tonight's show, some of the people out there will go to the New Testament and start to read what Jesus and the apostles taught, and please, please, accept that message over anything anyone has ever taught you.
The Spirit and the Word agree. And I was raised Catholic, and I thought I was going to heaven, and I was a good little Catholic girl. But my works were taking me there. I was self-righteous. And the Lord began to show me the evilness of my sin and even my self-centeredness. Even my goodness outside of him was not good enough to get to heaven. And I really needed a Savior. But see, I had been taught that Mary had no sin. And so I figured, you know, Mary had no sin, and I would speak to her often and think that she could hear me and understand me. However, all that time I was getting further and further away from Jesus and further away from God, thinking, because although my sins I felt were few, they were separating me from God. And so, brother, what would you say about the fact of the Immaculate Conception?
Well, first of all, in Romans 3:23, the Bible declares, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, one of the unique features about God's glory is that he has never sinned. On the other hand, all humans have sinned. Jesus, the God-man, is the only one that lived a perfectly sin-free life. Everybody else has sinned. Now, the Roman Catholic Church read into the statement that Mary is full of grace, and they deduce from that statement that Mary is full of grace that this must mean that she was sinless. She was born free from original sin, lived a perfectly sinless life, and consequently, you know, she has a unique elevation spiritually in the kingdom of God. But that's not what the Bible declares at all. And especially in light of their interpretation, full of grace, we see a very clear refutation to that. In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, Stephen was designated as a person that was full of God's grace. So just the same kind of expression that we would see describing Mary, we also see describing Stephen. So if Mary was sinless based on that statement, then Stephen must have been sinless too. And of course, neither one of those people were sinless. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. We need our sins forgiven. Even Mary did.
And she had to be born again also, according to Scripture. Now, in this book, on page 50, they give Old Testament types of Mary as symbolized as Noah's Ark, and it prefigured Mary's singular purity and immunity from sin, for it alone escaped the dreadfully judgment of God upon the world for its wickedness. So they literally take this Noah's Ark and tried to make it Mary, who was preserved from sin.
And yet, you know, the Bible very specifically says that when Noah and his family was to go into the ark, the voice that was said, come into the ark, and that ark was a type of Christ. And it's Christ that raises us above the judgment of God. But in this statement, they're giving Mary Christ's position. And you know, I find that to be very dangerous. Because the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Anything we raise up before Jesus is considered a god.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to say something about that, Dan, as far as Mary as symbolizes Noah's Ark?
Yes, I would. I'd like to touch on not only this idea that Mary is Noah's Ark, but also they would call her other elevated expressions such as the Ark of the Covenant and things like that. But again, you cannot possibly tie these statements to Mary in the Scriptures. There is no Bible verse that can be used to tie them to Mary. And remember, Peter said Paul's writings were Scripture, 2 Peter 3:16 and 17. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that Scripture is given for correction, doctrine, training, and righteousness and reproof, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Christian is thoroughly equipped for every good work with the Scriptures alone. And nowhere in the Scriptures do we see that Mary is called Noah's Ark or the Ark of the Covenant or anything else like that. The Roman Catholic Church, they do try to force a Scripture in Revelation chapter 12 and try to make it apply to Mary. Seems at the very first part of that chapter that Mary possibly could be spoken of there, and of course they would call her Queen of Heaven, but in no way, shape, or form can that interpretation of Revelation chapter 12 be consistent with the true meaning and interpretation, because later on in that same chapter we find out the woman spoken of there, and that woman, by the way, is Israel. The woman, symbolically in John's vision, she has wings and she flies out into the desert. So certainly this cannot be Mary. So again, there are serious problems for people that have been taught this kind of thing, and what they need to do is just accept what the Bible says. Believe what Jesus and the apostles said. You can't possibly go wrong with going by the Bible. I remember when I stopped praying to Mary, I was still going to the Catholic Church at the time, and I thought, well, what would happen if Jesus on the Day of Judgment would say to me, why did you stop praying to my mother? I pondered that for a while, and then I came up with this kind of answer. It was a very calming and settling answer for myself, and that is, there's nothing in the Bible that says that we should pray to Mary. The Bible teaches, on the other hand, we are to pray to God. And the early disciples, they prayed to God. They never prayed in the New Testament to an Old Testament saint. They never prayed to Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, or Jeremiah, and neither should we. So Mary, though she is prayed to, sad to say, that also is wrong. So there's many fallacious ideas that center around Mary, and it's a very sad thing because there are many, many, many sincere people that have been misled over this issue.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I was one of them, and when I truly got saved and the Spirit of God came to dwell within, see, the Spirit of God cannot disagree with the Word of God because they do agree, and when you hear, when I realized the things I had been taught and I began to read the Bible, the Lord and the Holy Spirit began to set me free, and I thought, well, these people don't even know it themselves. That's what the whole problem is. They don't know what's happening here, and they're not getting in the Bible to learn for themselves. And so my suggestion to those that are listening tonight, some of this might sound a little strange, and, you know, I believe the Catholic Church was the only true church of God, that there was no other church, and I remember my aunt kept witnessing to me as a little child, and I would go home, and then the Catholic Church would say, no, you don't listen to anybody else, and you can't understand the Bible on your own. You have to have us to interpret it. Well, the Bible says we need no man to teach us, but the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. And so that's what set me free.
You know, and the Bible talks about, too, is when they refer to Mary as the Queen of Heaven. Now, we was mentioning some Old Testament scriptures supposedly referring to Mary. Well, here's some right here that I think that as a Catholic I would want to hear. And it's an Old Testament scripture, and it's in Jeremiah. And it's the 7th chapter, and it's verse 18, and it says, now, or actually started in 17, do you not see what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven, and they pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? Now here they were making and worshiping the so-called Queen of Heaven.
Well, you know, I'm going to open up the lines here, and we're going to open up the phones for questions or comments, and I'm sure a brother here can handle them, and if someone else in the audience has some answers, you're welcome to call in. And now, the Mary that's appearing to people, the apparitions, I do not personally believe that this is the Mary of the Bible. I believe it is some kind of apparition that is not the mother of Jesus Christ. It's someone that's deceiving many out there. And there's been a Mary, the Madonna Mary, who's a black woman. Then there's been another type of Mary. And so all these different Marys appearing to different people with different kinds of messages, and they don't agree with the scriptures. Is there any, brother, that you could pull out that you can tell us that just do not agree with the scriptures at all?
Yes, I remember going back to my days in the Roman Catholic Church, and I sincerely believe that these visions that the Roman Catholic Church had of Mary set it above and apart and far over all these other denominations, again, showing that the Catholic Church was founded on Jesus, and the keys were given to Peter, who was the first pope. But then my eyes were really opened when I found out that other religious systems also claimed visions, Mormons and Seventh-day Adventists. And all these visions, they're in contradiction one to another. And yet the Bible says that God is not a God of confusion, so God would not contradict himself, giving a vision to the Mormons and one to the Catholics and another to the Seventh-day Adventists. So first of all, we would have to say that we would have to know that God is not the source of all visions. And shockingly, from reading the scriptures, I found out that the devil can actually perform visions. So the only way we will know what vision is from God and what vision is not from God is to look at the substance or the teaching of a vision. Now, clearly, the Fatima, Portugal visions state, among other things, that Mary is our refuge and the way that will lead us to God. Now, early after I started reading the Catholic Bible, I found out that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come to the Father but by him. That's John 14:6. So I knew that Jesus is the way to heaven and not Mary. But here the vision is saying that Mary is our refuge and the way that will lead us to God. But the Bible, Jesus is saying Jesus is the way to the Father. So a very serious contradiction. So I had to make a choice. And thank God I went by what Jesus actually taught. So you can't go wrong if you go by what the Lord taught, for sure.
Amen. We have a call right now. It's from Barry in St. Louis.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
Nice to hear you tonight, Dan. Gotten several of your books. I just wanted to make a comment. I was in the hospital recently, and I was going to witness to a Vietnamese lady. Having been in Vietnam, I knew that most of them were Buddhists, and I wanted to know that if since she had come to the States, if she had been converted. So I asked her, are you Christian or Buddhist? And she responded, neither. I'm Catholic. And I said, Catholic? Oh, you mean Christian. She goes, no, Catholic. And then she thought for a minute, she goes, oh, yes, Christian. And I said, no, Catholic. You know, why is it that people in the Catholic Church seem to be so void of the knowledge of, for example, like being born again? My sister was rebuked in a Catholic church one time for reading her Bible. She belonged to a Catholic church in the area. And I wasn't even saved at the time. And I said to my sister, I said, doesn't there seem to be something wrong with that? I thought you were supposed to study God's Word. Now, I know all Catholic churches don't tell people not to read their Bible, but I have sold insurance for years in St. Louis, and a lot around the Catholic vicinities where high populations of Catholics, and there's basically no difference in them and anyone in the world as far as their lifestyles, their addictions, their habits, their drinking, cursing, swearing. And, you know, when I got born again, I was delivered from that stuff. Not that I haven't ever sinned since, but if I did sin after that, I tried to be quick to repent because I know I have an advocate. Mm-hmm. But sin should not have its commonplace, everyday occurrence in any Christian's life.
Is Mary your advocate, Barry?
No, there was Jesus is the one that went to the cross and died for me.
Right.
And hallelujah. I pray to the Father in Jesus' name.
Yeah, Dan, are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, did you have a comment for Barry?
Yes, a couple of things. I think one of the chief reasons, at least for myself, why I was not encouraged to read the Bible when I was a little boy was because we were taught, number one, you cannot understand the Bible, and number two, you will go crazy if you read the Bible. We were taught those things. Also, Catholics are really not acquainted, at least I wasn't, when I was a young boy, with the term born again, although in their official teachings they believe a Catholic is born again at the point of infant baptism. Now, that's when they think a person is born again, but according to the Bible, that has absolutely nothing to do with the biblical statement of being born again. Being born again is equated with repenting of your sins and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. That's when a person gets saved or when a person gets born again. So the Catholic Church might have a biblical term here and there, but sad to say, it means something altogether different. But it's a very serious day. It's a very dark day. It's a very sad day. And a lot of people, even in our country, they have easy access to the Bible, and basically all it does, if they own one, it virtually doesn't do much more than just collect dust. And one final thought, and that is, when I was a Roman Catholic, I trusted my priest, and I thought, if there's anything important that I need to know, certainly my priest will tell me. He was a very sincere man. My priest was. He was a very sincere man. He would walk up and kiss the Bible and that touched me, that impressed me. He truly believed the Bible was the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying all Catholics do, but certainly that priest did. And that touched my heart. And like I said, there are many sincere Catholics. Of course, there are many that are not sincere, but what they need to know is the true message. And unless they read the Bible for themselves, I don't believe they're going to find out from their priest or a nun.
And that true message is there's salvation in no other name, right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bear, we got somebody calling from Glen Carbon, and I think that's long distance.
All right.
So God bless you, Barry, for calling and sharing with us.
God, hey, bye-bye. See you later, Barry.
And now I believe we have Jane from Glen Carbon.
Jane, how are you guys doing?
Fine.
Well, I talked with you about a week or so ago, and I couldn't hardly believe the testimony of this man. I'm kind of curious, what book or what source or is this from a book or a collection of essays or what? You know, what are you basing this on, a book that's put out, or
what we're talking about, Jane, is the book.
I got in here kind of late.
Yeah, we're talking about the book we received from a listener called Catholic for a Reason Too, and I assume that means Vatican Too. And it says Scripture and the Mystery.
Who's it by?
It's by Bishop James S. Sullivan.
How about that?
And then
what year was it published?
The year.
Uh-huh.
And also the gentleman we have on the line with us has done some study. Dan Carner has done a lot of study of what Catholicism is teaching. Now, it looks like here it was modified, and the copyright was in 1997. United States Catholic Conference.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, and in 1994, there was a copyright. So it's quite...
Well, I mean, I'll just say this, is that at St. Cecilia's in Glen Carbon, for 5 weeks, we had a special priest come in from... And he's not a priest. I'm sorry. He's a professor, and he is... most brilliant. I mean, our priest said that, you know, he's gone through theology. And we had 5 weeks on Monday for 2 hours of the Book of John. And, of course, he couldn't hit it all. None of this stuff about Mary, you know, is that you're claiming is happening. I mean, I've been to Layer Loretto since 1977. I've gone to, and when we didn't make Mass at Loretto, we went to several other churches.
Jane, can I ask you a question, though?
Yeah.
Do you believe that Mary was born without sin?
Yeah, I do, only because she's a mother of God. And when they say that she leads you to God, who is God?
Well, see, Jesus
who
was...
Who is God?
Here's what it is, Jane. Jesus was in the beginning with the Father.
That's right. That's in the first...
So you have to realize that Mary is not the mother of God. She's the mother only of the man, Jesus.
Well, I mean, but then are you denying that Jesus is not God?
Jesus is God, but he was born... He was in the beginning with the Father before
That's
Mary
right.
even knew what life
see,
was.
Well, we have to understand that Jesus was both God and man.
Well, I realize
God-man,
that he,
so.
That's right. She
yeah.
carried him in her womb. She could have had an abortion. Now, I do not worship Mary. I give her respect, great respect. If our women in this country would emulate Mary, you know, as a woman, I'm talking about the woman.
Can
figure.
I give you a scripture, though, Jane? It said that there was a man standing outside, and he said, "Blessed are the paps which thou sucked from, and the woman that took care," and he said, "No, more blessed are those that do the will of my
Father."
Right.
Absolutely.
So
because,
he was taking...
Because once in the Mediterranean culture, the woman was closest to... They were not close in medieval culture. The women, period, especially, you know, all of them,
Jane,
they were not close to their father. They were closest to the oldest son.
Jane, this was Jesus that said that.
I realize that. I know my Bible.
Okay.
Now, what he is doing is actually absolutely also, he was at Capernaum. I mean, at Cana, at the wedding at Cana. And this was supposedly the first miracle in John's, you know. And she says, they're running out of wine, and they said, "What are we going to do?" And she went and told him, you know, "We're having a problem with the wine." And he says, "What does that have to do with me, woman?" Well, woman is a very severe case to give to somebody. I mean, you do not call that is a separation. That is, he is separating himself from his family, and the family was the number one entity in the Mediterranean world. Honor and shame and family.
Okay, well, let me get back to the book again. This book says that when Jesus called her woman, that made her the second Eve. Now,
that's not what we taught up here at Glen Carbon. I think I told you before, children were no-nos.
Here's another question, though. I'm going to ask you, in the teachings in the Catholic Church, do you believe that Jesus had brothers and sisters?
Yes, I do.
Okay, now let's go.
Our thing is that, well, first of all, that your brothers and sisters, there was the immediate family, there was the extended family, and they were very, very close. And they were, I mean, you just cannot believe how close they were.
In fact,
all of Nazareth could have been Jesus' family, made up most of Nazareth.
Let's go now to Dan. Wait a minute, Jane.
Let me finish.
Yes, but you've been talking a while now. Let's go to Dan and see what he has to say about who.
Well, I haven't finished. Joseph had previous children.
From who?
He was older than Mary.
From who?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know where he came from.
Can you give me some scriptural reference for that?
No. But everything in the Bible is not scripturally. But no, Mary was a virgin, and she was a virgin until the time she died.
Okay, now see,
And then when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he looked down there, and what did he say?
He said, "Woman, behold thy son."
Yes, and what did he say to the son?
He said, "Behold thy mother."
That's it.
Yeah, but now, does that mean that all at that moment Mary became the mother of every human being?
Of course not, and we don't believe that. But we believe that we give her the respect.
Well, this book does make that statement, Jeff.
I like to have that book because it disagrees with everything that I have learned from Our Lady Loretto, up at St. Cecilia's and everywhere around. And that I would like to have another priest on your show because I refute it. The priest I know would refute it.
Okay, now, Jane, I'm going to let Dan answer some questions now. Dan, you're on the air right now. Would you say, did Jesus have actual brothers and sisters, and was Mary always a virgin?
A very clear verse that would show that Mary was not always a virgin, but she certainly was a virgin until after Jesus was born. The Bible does teach at least that part. But in Matthew 1:25, we have a very important verse on this subject. That verse says, "But he had no," speaking of Joseph, "he had no union with her, Mary, until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Now, again,
it doesn't mean they were fooling around afterwards.
Now, this is found right in the Bible. The Bible is given for correction and doctrine and reproof, and this is what we need to draw our teaching from. That's the Bible. Also, the Bible tells us that Jesus was Mary's firstborn, not only born, but firstborn. We have other scriptures that would likewise show that Mary had other children besides Jesus, but probably the most important issue that needs to be addressed here, far more important than this, in my opinion. Jane, you came on before and you said, well, the things that we're saying, this is not the way it is. The Catholic Church really doesn't teach these things. Well, I don't want anyone out in the listening audience to think that what you said was true, because it's not true. Anybody that's listening that is a Roman Catholic, if they've ever prayed the rosary or ever heard anyone recite the rosary, then they know part of the rosary prayer is the Hail Holy Queen prayer, which states that Mary is supposed to be our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Now, believe it or not, the Bible flatly contradicts that very, very clearly. The Bible says instead of Mary being our life, Jesus is our life. In Colossians 3:4, it says, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Also, 1 Timothy 1:1 tells us who our hope is. Is it Mary? No, it's not Mary like the rosary prayer would say. Instead, it's Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, our hope." And then getting right back again to this whole issue that Mary's her life, sweetness, and hope, that comes from a repetitious prayer. The very way Jesus commanded, don't pray that way. Jesus told us how to pray and how not to pray. Jesus told us we're to pray to the Father, and we're not to pray repetitiously. That's how pagans pray. Now, that's his word. That's what he said, Matthew chapter 6. I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to irritate anyone, but that's what Jesus said. And he told us, and the disciples told us, who is our life and who is our hope, who is the way to the Father, who is our refuge, who has the only name under heaven in which salvation is found. And there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus. It's not Jesus and Mary. It's Jesus.
And you are absolutely, you are making your arguments, and you're making the arguments for my case or whatever, the objective case.
Arguments for your case, then what you should do is leave Catholicism, because what I said grossly contradicts the very substance of the things the priest and the nuns and the monks and the other people that teach catechism class, the things that they're teaching, when they endorse, even by allowing the rosary prayer to be recited in the Mass or after the Mass or for penance, this is a flat contradiction to Christian doctrine. We're not to say or believe for a moment that anybody other than Jesus is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Are you trusting in Jesus as your life, sweetness, or hope, or are you believing that it's Mary, Jane?
I've gone to Catholics and Baptist churches. How many times have you gone to the Catholic Church recently?
Well, I spend...
You're afraid to now.
...over 20 years...
Well, why don't you go back?
In
why don't you go
Catholic
back?
Church, before and after Vatican Council II. And most importantly, I've read the official present-day teachings of Roman Catholicism, Vatican Council II, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Now, I don't know if you read either of these volumes.
I took catechism, but I haven't read it all, you know, the deep down writings. I admit I'm not a scholar as far as that's concerned, but I do study my Bible because our church does want us to study the Bible. For many, many years, people were studying the Bible and getting wrong interpretations from it and going out and forming their own churches and getting carried away and having cults and so forth and so on.
Now, Jane, can I ask you this question?
Sure.
Okay, and you know, I've been sitting and listening, okay? And
no, I've been listening to Dan.
Yeah, well, but anyway, let me ask you this question. Do you believe Mary in any way, shape, or form has anything to do as far as intercessoryship in the church today? Or do you believe that... she's the only one that can take you to God the Father, that Jesus needs her to do it, to go to God the Father?
I think the most direct way to God the Father is Jesus, because he's our mediator.
Okay. So then if that's the case, then Mary is not an issue, right, when it comes to intercessorship?
I don't need Mary because I have Jesus. But
well, I'm glad. You know, Jane, I'm awful glad to hear you say
but
that.
But I'm honor Mary.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think Dan's saying he doesn't honor Mary. I honor Mary. But,
well, no, it doesn't sound like you. It sounds like to me... She's just an old gal that did something. And
no,
she was a special person that said yes to God.
Like we all are.
No, but Jane, what we're doing is...
I'm not like her. I was not...
Well, remember when Jesus looked at the apostles, he was pointing to the apostles, and he looked at them, and he says, now, this is... You gotta be just like they are. Just obey him.
And we're not down in Mary. What we're doing is critiquing a book, okay, that was written by a Catholic bishop that states that all these things about Mary that I don't find in the scriptures.
I wish that you could have, if you are really courageous, you'll have a priest on next week.
Hey, I'll be more than glad to have a priest.
I don't think. Wait, one thing though.
You're afraid to.
No,
Jane.
No, we'll be more
glad. You get anybody, even a Lutheran. We'll take on a Lutheran minister too.
No, you. If you're against Mary, then I would suggest.
I love Mary, but not the Mary of the Catholic Church, because that's not the Mary of the Bible.
Well, you had a bad experience, and I'm sure you're wounded by this experience. Mm-hmm. You know.
Oh, no. If you're speaking about me, I had a great experience. I read the Bible and found salvation. But listen to this, Jane. The Bible tells us who's greater, if it's John the Baptist or Mary. These are Jesus' words. Jesus, described John the Baptist
as the least
dead of him,
heaven.
That there is not a greater born of woman than John the Baptist. So by that designation, he was exalting John the Baptist above Mary.
So what? And also,
so
John,
the point is, no,
so
wait, the point is,
John the Baptist,
Mary is supposed to be sinless. How could she be sinless and therefore underneath John the Baptist? Well, the Bible doesn't teach she's sinless. The Bible doesn't teach that she's the life, sweetness, and hope, that we should be praying to Mary, that she's our refuge, that she's exalted in these unique ways as the Ark of the Covenant or Noah's Ark or any of these strange things that some people are believing. Strange because that's what the Catholic priests and the monks and the nuns are teaching. And
not
I have to say, they're not reading the Bible.
Not my priest isn't.
Well,
your priest,
if he is in good terms with Rome, he's going to be teaching with
he
the creed
not,
of Vatican
II. He is not, because I go to the church.
And the Catechism of the Catholic Church, if he's teaching contrary to these, which I don't believe he is, I believe he's teaching perfectly in alignment with Vatican Council II. He's going to agree with what I'm saying the Roman Catholic Church is teaching, even though you're denying it. Now, do you deny that Catholics pray to Mary?
I don't know what other Catholics do, but no, they do not. They do not pray to Mary.
They pray through Mary. Dane, how can you come on here
on
and try to say in front of former Catholics, and who knows how many Catholics are listening right now, and try to tell people that present-day Catholics do not pray to Mary? That's not true. That's a deception.
But yet the Bible says Jesus is the only mediator. Why would they pray to Mary through God?
Mary goes to her son Jesus.
But why would she have to is what I don't understand. You know, the Bible says that Jesus sits on the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession for all those that would come to God through him. Now, it's as the high priest and the one that sits beside the Father, why would we have to go through Mary or anyone else? That's what Jesus died for.
You know, I'm going to...
On the back burner or something?
You know what I'm going to do? We're going to continue this. We're getting at the end of the broadcast, and Jane, you have had a lot of time. But any time, if you have a priest that's willing to come on, we would gladly talk, and we can have... get Dan even to come on with us, and maybe
Dan, you ready to come
two
back
priests
next week?
Or two.
I would be glad to come back.
Okay, well.
But anyhow,
let
Jane,
let him have his say, because Dan has had his say tonight.
Sure,
we'd be glad to.
Sure.
Let a priest have his say.
And we thank you, Jane. I'm going to let you go right
my
now.
My husband wants to tell you something.
You guys are really not religiously favorable. You just hate.
No,
it's a hate religion that you have.
No.
Thank you. What we're going to do right now, though, is get off the air for that.
Let me say this, though. Why would we be considered hate? Because we're trying to stand for truth. Now, this is why we're saying we're of hate. We're saying that Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father. Jesus Christ is the only one that died for man. Jesus Christ, his death is the only sacrifice we need as believers. Now, if that makes us hate mongers, then I guess we're hate mongers.
Well, no, we love the Lord, and being Catholic, I know how they feel.
Yeah.
I've been there, Dan's been there, and when I found the truth in the scriptures, it hurt really bad.
And we want you
and
folks
Jane's,
to understand.
Jane's right, I was hurt because I found out Jesus had brothers and sisters.
And we love the Catholics.
Right, and I found out that Jesus was the only way, and I never went to him. I was always going to the saint, I always used one saint. My patron saint was... what was her name? The one that was the bad girl all the time?
I would just ask Jane to challenge herself and her husband to ask themselves this question. Do they love Jesus with all their heart? Do they need someone else other than Jesus? And
see,
if they say yes, it's Jesus plus something.
Mary's my sister. She's not my mother. Mary is, I appreciate her. I kind of wouldn't have minded being her in her place. I don't know if I'd been as willing to receive the Lord. However, if I'd been in the lineage of David, I probably would have said, go for it.
That's why Mary was called, because she was in the lineage of David.
But you got to know the scriptures, and people perish for lack of knowledge. Dan, we're so glad that you took the opportunity, well, that we could give you this opportunity to win souls for the Lord and to have people search the scriptures and see. And it said it's those that testify of Jesus, those are the ones that are saved. And we cannot raise up ourselves even. We can't raise up another individual. Although the 12 apostles will be sitting on the throne, there's only one that's going to be sitting on the throne, and that's God, and the right hand will be Jesus Christ and Him alone. So we only got a couple more minutes, and I'd like for you, Dan, to just give us some information where we can get in touch. You have the Believer's Conditional Security, which I believe everyone should have in their hands because of this once saved, always saved doctrine that's going around. So give us an address or an email or a www. Okay.
I'd be glad to. Thank you very much. First of all, if anybody's on the internet, they can come to our website. It's www.evangelicaloutreach.org. Mailing address, in case you're not on the internet, it's Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301.
Praise the Lord. And Dan, they're telling us to get off the air right now, but if you'll hold on just a minute, we want to get back with you.
Sure. Yeah, you keep holding on, okay?
All right.
Okay.
And we just thank you, people. We love you Catholics. We truly do, because I was a Catholic, and I know. God bless you. We'll see you next
Jesus
week.
Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus.
Amen.